Well, what a blessing it is to be with those in the body of Christ this morning. Many people across the world have gathered today, like we are, to worship and pray and sing to God, to unite our voices together and unite ourselves in the worship of God. We may not be visibly united with someone in China who's a Christian, but we are certainly spiritually, and they're doing the same thing that we are doing today. And what a blessing it is for us to come together as a local congregation, as part of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ here. And as we just observed the Lord's Supper, we observed from one loaf and from one cup, figuratively speaking. And that represents the unity that we have with one another. And therefore, our worship as ought to be unified. So we hope and pray that our worship this morning has been, first and foremost, acceptable to God, but also edifying to us. I certainly have been edified by the things that have been done and said this morning. Open your Bible this morning to Matthew chapter 7. What if today was the judgment day? We don't think about that a lot. But the question of the judgment day is not a question of if. The question of the judgment day is a question of when. We don't know when the judgment day is coming, but the Bible tells us that it is coming. And one day, you and I, we will all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of what we've done in our lives. The question we're going to have to answer to is, have we done anything in our life that is going to last, that is of an eternal significance? You know, all of us have accomplished things in our lives. We work at our jobs, we bring home a paycheck. Perhaps you learn things in school. Perhaps you spend time with your kids, your grandchildren. Those are all things that are good and important. But the question is not, have we accomplished anything in life, but have we accomplished anything that is going to last? Anything that is of eternal significance? That's the question we're going to have to answer on the judgment day. And I think all of us will have an answer. None of us are going to stand before Christ and say, well, I don't know. I'm convinced that all of us will know, and of course the Lord's judgment will tell us whether we have done something of eternal significance. Well, as Jesus closes his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, he tells a parable in which he asks his audience this question. He begins in verse 24 saying, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." The storm in Jesus' parable has often been used to talk about the storms of life, the trials and the tribulations that come, the temptations and difficulties we face in life, and I think there is an application there. But the ultimate storm that each one of us is going to face and experience is the day of judgment. That storm is going to determine whether our house is going to stand or whether it's going to fall. And so this morning I want us to think about this question. Am I living a life that is going to last, that is going to stand that test, the storm, whenever the storm does come? The things that I am doing today and now, are they things that are going to last? How do we build a life that is going to last? Well, you know, when you read that story, that parable of the wise man and the foolish man, that's a story that we are very well familiar with. It's a story that young children learn in their Bible class. There's a song that goes with it. Perhaps you're thinking about it now. But it's a very simple parable, and it's got a very simple lesson for us. The parable comes down to one word, and that is obedience. Obedience is the point of Jesus' parable, and obedience is the way that we build a life that will last. There are two men in this parable. One is a wise man, and one is a foolish man. And their attitudes are about as different from each other as you can get. But one thing is the same about these men. Notice what it says in verse 24. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them." In verse 26, "everyone who hears these words of mine." The two men both heard what Jesus had to say. They weren't exempt from what Jesus said. Both were there present whenever Jesus was talking. But the thing that made them different was their obedience. The wise man heard and acted, but the foolish man heard and did not act. Obedience is what Jesus is trying to tell us that we ought to do. That is how we live a life or build a life that is going to last. We obey what the Lord has told us to do. And our obedience is not seen in just the things we say. You know, we may say, Lord, Lord, but we must do the things that Jesus has said. In fact, if a few verses above this, in verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Perhaps the foolish man would have said, Lord, Lord. Perhaps he would have claimed that he was a disciple. Perhaps he would have claimed that he was a Christian. Perhaps if he would have been living in this day, he would have gone to church. But he did not build his life on the rock by doing the things that Christ has commanded. That is how we build a life that will last. It is not done by our words or simply by our words. It is done by our actions. I heard a couplet a few weeks ago that pretty well summarizes Jesus' parable here. Only one life to live will soon be passed. Only things done for Jesus Christ will last. That's what Jesus is saying here. That if we build our lives on anything other than what Jesus Christ has said, then our lives ultimately are going to fall flat. They may not fall flat in the storms of life here on the earth, but they will ultimately fall flat whenever the judgment day comes. So if we want to be a wise man, if we want to be a man who's going to build our life on the rock, we've got to do what Jesus says. And that's how we build a life that is going to last. That's how we do something of eternal significance, something that is going to last. So this morning, I want us to think about this parable in Matthew chapter 7. And I want to share with you two things that we must do in order to build a life that will last. First of all, we've got to choose the right foundation upon which to build our lives. You know, Jesus was a carpenter by trade. And as a carpenter, Jesus knew something about building, didn't he? He knew how to build things. Perhaps, we don't know this for sure, but perhaps he even built a few houses during his lifetime. Jesus knew that in order to build a house that is going to last, it has to be built on a solid foundation, and that's just common sense. It doesn't take a professional to know that. It doesn't take a professional carpenter. Everybody knows that a building can only be as strong as its foundation. If you build on something that is shifting, then the building's going to shift. But if you build something or a house on something that is solid, that you can trust in, that it's not going to move, then your house most likely is going to stand. So Jesus presents before us a pretty obvious choice. Which one would you rather do? Would you rather live in a house that's built upon a rock or sand? Well, most of us, if not all of us, would say, well, yeah, I want to build or live in a house built on a rock because I know that that house is going to stand. Well, that's the obvious part. But the part that's not quite as obvious is the fact that in order to do that, it requires a great deal of commitment, a difficult commitment, mind you. And that's why people sometimes build their lives on sand, because they don't want to commit themselves to building on the rock. There's an obvious choice, but there's a difficult commitment. And the reality is that so many people today are building their lives on sand. As foolish as it may seem from the outside, people so often, spiritually speaking, build their lives on things that don't really matter. So many people spend their lives in worthless pursuits, in things that yeah, may be beneficial and enjoyable here in this life, but whenever eternity comes, when that day of judgment comes, when the storm comes that Jesus talks about, are we going to be able to stand on those things? I couldn't help but notice as I was thinking about this parable about what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, Solomon had some things to say about the meaning of life, and he was a man who had pretty much everything you could ever imagine. He had wealth, he had wisdom, he had women. And in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I won't read verses 1 through 11. Brother Terry read this for us last Wednesday night. But if you remember, Solomon had everything in the world he could ever want. And he spent his money on building projects. He spent his money on parks and trees and all these sort of things. He gained wisdom. He tried to increase his intellectual understanding and all these things. He tried to increase women. And he tried life with sex and with drugs and alcohol. He tried everything you can ever imagine. And notice what it says in verse 11. He says, "For thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done, and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun." In fact, Solomon opens up this book by saying, "Vanity of vanities." Have you ever tried to strive after the wind? Tried to catch the wind? You run after it and you try to grasp for it in your hands and you come up with nothing. You might come up with a gnat or something, but you can't grab the wind. That's what life is like without God. And that's what Solomon is saying. Solomon is saying, don't be like me. I tried to fulfill the meaning of life with everything but God. And I found out that it's striving after wind, that it's empty. It's meaningless. It brings me no pleasure in the long run. And certainly, Solomon says, it did bring me pleasure. It brought me some enjoyment. It did make me happy for a while. But when he sat back and he thought about the eternal significance of those things, he said, it is nothing. It is vain. And this is such an important lesson for our world today because you know, we see around us a culture that is so materialistic. And it parades physical things and possessions and reputation and good looks and power and money as the things that are the most important. Well, those things aren't the most important things. The most important things, as Solomon is going to say, is to fear God and keep His commandments. I don't mean to imply that riches and wealth and wisdom, physical wisdom and all these other things, they don't have any benefit. They certainly do. And the Lord has given us these things so that we can enjoy them. Solomon says that in the book of Ecclesiastes. But to build a life on them, to try to build your life on your wealth that is here one moment and the next day it might be gone, to build your life on the good looks that we have and we're going to get older and those good looks are just going to vanish away, or the power or the reputation that we might have, those things may be beneficial in this life, but whenever the storm comes, those things are sand, and they're not going to last in eternity. Jesus, in essence, is saying, if you build your life on anything but me, then you're building your life on sand. And that's the lesson that Solomon learned in relation to God. He tried to build his life on the sand. In one sense, he was a wise man, but in another sense, he was a foolish man by trying to build his life on the sand. And the conclusion that Solomon comes to at the end of his book in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is really the same one that Jesus comes to in this parable. The point of Jesus' parable is that if you want to build your life on something that's going to last, you do my commandments. You do what I say. And Solomon reaches the very same conclusion in verse 13. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is this: fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, whether it is everything that is hidden, whether it is good or evil. If Solomon learned anything in his pursuit of meaning in life, he learned that life without God is meaningless, but life with God, that is what fulfills whenever we do the Lord's command. And so if we want to build our life on something that is going to last, why not choose a rock? Why not choose something that is eternal? Why not choose something that is unchanging? Something that you can trust in? You can't trust in wealth. It is here one minute and then is gone the next. But God is a rock. The psalmist several times refers to God as his rock. For example, in Psalm 18, beginning in verse 1, David writes, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. If David trusted in anyone, it was God. And remember, David was a pretty well-to-do man. He was a king, after all, and he was a very successful king. He had a lot of power. He had a lot of victory over his enemies. But his rock was God, and he trusted in him. And in Psalm 73, another psalmist calls God his rock. In verse 26, it says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength or the rock of my heart and my portion forever." The psalmist here knew that he was weak. He was at a time whenever his flesh and his heart did fail. And whenever we start building our lives on ourselves, then we will ultimately realize that if we do that, we will fail. But if we build our lives, as the psalmist did, on the rock of God, our lives will not fail. So while we're here on this earth, we are building a house, as it were. Whatever we do, we're building a house. And why not build upon the rock of God? As long as we do what He has commanded of us, then we are assured that our house is going to stand. Don't be afraid to make that commitment to build your life on the rock. And you know, the wise man in Matthew chapter 7, he was prepared for the storm. He knew that the storm was going to come, or at least he figured it was going to come. The weather was good at the moment, but he knew that at some point his house was going to be tested. And so he prepared his house beforehand so that the storm would not cause his house to fall. And the same is true for us. If we're going to build our lives on the rock, we've got to do it now, because we don't know when the storm is coming. We've got to prepare before the storm comes. One day it's going to be too late to build on the rock. But we've got now. We've got a moment right now in which we can do what the wise man did and build our lives upon the rock. So we've got to choose right now when we can. So the question we got to ask ourselves is this: what is most important to you? That's what Jesus is asking us. What is most important to you? What are you building your life on? Are you building your life on sand? You may not realize it, but think about it. Take inventory. What is most important to you? Is it your family? Is it your wealth? Is it your reputation? Is it your power? Or anything other than God? And again, I don't mean to imply that those things are not important. They certainly are, and they have benefit in this life. But to build your life on them is foolish, because they're not going to be here forever. But to build our life on the rock, that is going to be of eternal benefit to us. And this is something that us parents need to remember. Those of us who have children, are we teaching our children what is most important? Are we teaching them to build their lives on the rock? And if we're going to do that, we've got to first of all make sure that we ourselves are building on the rock. Because if we want our children to have a good life, if we want our children to have a life that is going to last of eternal significance, we've got to show them an example of that. We've got to build ourselves on the rock first. But are we teaching our children about God and the importance of obeying His commands? Are we reading them stories from the Bible? Are we teaching them the eternal significance of their souls, that they're going to be either in heaven or hell for an eternity? And that is not something we ought to take lightly. And this is something that us parents ought to take to heart. There are so many people today, and especially young people, who are living life without any purpose. Have you ever met someone like that, who just has no purpose in life? And you ask them, what are you trying to accomplish in life? And they don't really have an answer. They maybe have a vague idea of what their goals are in life, but they don't really have any purpose that drives them. And that is so sad to see someone like that, because life doesn't have to be meaningless. Life doesn't have to be just drifting upon the ocean. It doesn't have to be empty. Christ has told us that we can build our lives on the rock by doing His commands. And whenever a Christian does that, whenever a person does that, he has purpose in life. He has a direction. And whenever he is asked, "What is most important to you?" he has no hesitation in answering. He's like the man in Psalm 1 who is firmly planted beside the streams of water. And he says, I have chosen the path of righteousness. And he's able to say, yeah, I'm building my life on the rock. And he understands that that is a life of eternal significance. So, in Jesus' story, there are only two foundations. Which one are you building your life upon today? And in order to choose that right foundation, we've got to, secondly, choose the right attitude. Because the mindset or the attitude that each one of us has toward life and toward God, toward sin, that is what's going to determine where we're building our lives. You know, when you look at Jesus' parables, this one included, each of Jesus' parables has an element of surprise to it. Something that catches us by surprise or almost slaps us in the face and kind of gets our attention. And that element of surprise here is the fact that someone built his life upon sand. Have you ever met someone who wanted to build a physical house right on the beach, just a few feet away from the high tide? You know, I don't think I have, and I certainly wouldn't want to build my life right or my house right there. You know, some people do build houses right on the beach, but they don't build them right where the ocean waves come, do they? No, because they understand that if they do that, something's going to happen. But when you do build your life or your house right on the beach, you've got to know that a storm's going to come eventually, and it's going to damage that house, if not wipe it completely away. Everybody understands that in order to build a solid house, you've got to build it on something more than just sand. And that's just a common sense principle. Everybody knows that that's a bad investment. But the reality is, that's what happens whenever we live our lives without God. Why does someone choose to build their life on sand? Why would anybody make that choice? Well, it's certainly not because they think sand is somehow going to last for forever. Or is it? Does someone build their life on sand because they think it is solid? Well, yes. They don't think anything's going to happen. They don't think that a storm is going to come and it's going to test that foundation. See, it's the mindset that we start having towards building our house. What is our attitude towards life? What is our attitude towards, first of all, obedience to Christ? Do we have a mindset of procrastination? Well, I know I should do what the Lord has commanded me to do, but I'll do it someday. I won't do it right now, but someday the opportunity will arise and I'll do it. Or maybe we have an attitude of complacency about obedience. Well, it doesn't really matter to us. Or maybe we have an attitude of sluggishness. Well, I know the Lord has commanded me to do this, but I just don't have the motivation. I don't have the energy. And Jesus is teaching us that whenever we don't immediately obey the Lord's commands, that's what we're doing. We're building our lives on sand. It's that attitude, that mindset of, well, the storm isn't coming right now, and therefore I don't need to really put much effort into preparing for that storm. That's why the foolish man built his house on the sand, because he didn't think it mattered. He thought that life was going to be okay. He was self-assured. The weather was good. Nothing bad was coming. And he just thought, well, this is good enough. But it is not good enough for us just to make excuses about life. We can't flirt with obedience, nor can we flirt with sin. What is our attitude towards sin? Sometimes we start building our lives on sand by flirting with sin. We start getting a little closer here and there. Or we justify ourselves by saying, well, I'll do it this one time, but it doesn't really matter. I can repent of it later, and it won't really hurt me in the long run. Yes, it will. Sin always hurts us in the long run. Sin is the sand. And if you try to build your life on it, whenever the storm comes, we're all going to find out that it doesn't benefit us at all. It's not going to last. Building on sand, building on sin, building on things that are not eternally meaningful in this life, you know, that's the easy way. It's easy to do those things. It's easy to go through life and cruise and not really have much purpose in life and do whatever our whims and our desires tell us to do. That's the easy way, and that's the cheap way. But it's not the right way. You can just imagine the foolish man And his reasoning, whenever he was building his house on the sand, you know, sand's not that expensive. I don't have to do much work to dig a hole and find the rock underneath the sand. It's not going to take much time to just to build upon a topsoil, not even lay a foundation. It doesn't take much work. It's a lot cheaper that way. But he found out that the cheap way is not the right way. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 13. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Now, those two gates, one is the hard way, it is the narrow way. It is the way that is dangerous. It takes a great deal of effort and commitment, but the other way is broad. The other way is paved, it's smooth, and it's the easy way, and that's where most people are going to go. But that's building a life on sand. The easy way is not always the right way. The easy way, the cheap way, is going to end up in destruction. But if we do what is right, if we build our lives upon the rock, we're building our lives upon what is going to last. And Jesus tells us that to build your life on the rock, it's not going to be easy. It is going to be difficult. If you turn over to Luke chapter 6 very quickly, Luke chapter 6 gives us another version of Jesus' parable. And in verse 47 of Luke 6, it says, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house, and it could not shake it because it had been well built." So you notice what Jesus said the wise man did? He dug down deep. You ever used a shovel and dug by hand until you reached rock? That's tough. Digging with a shovel with your own two hands, that's hard work, especially if you're trying to find rock, the bedrock upon which the soil sits. Well, that's what the wise man did. He knew it was not the easiest way. He knew it wasn't the cheapest way, but he knew that was the way that was going to give him a firm foundation. And so he was willing to make the sacrifice. He was willing to do it because he knew that if he did that, his house would stand. And that's the same for us. If we want to build our lives upon the rock, it's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some commitment. You know, I heard an illustration this past week on the radio, or heard an advertisement on the radio. It was an advertisement for a no commitment or a month, simply a month-to-month membership at a gym. And the advertiser said, "I hate making long-term commitments." I think sometimes that's the way we feel about our service to the Lord. We might think that it's okay to go for a while without making any long-term commitments. But you know, in order to follow Christ, we've got to make a long-term commitment. I think sometimes people are afraid of making a long-term commitment because, well, what's going to happen? But in order to be a Christian, that's what it's going to take. It's going to require a long-term commitment. And especially whenever we think about life in comparison with eternity, you know, sometimes we're afraid of commitment. But shouldn't we be more afraid of eternity? And the reality that we're going to have to answer for our choices for forever? And from that perspective, we shouldn't be afraid of making the long-term commitment. But Jesus says, in order to build your life upon the rock, it's going to take that long-term commitment. One of the qualities of a wise person is the fact that he looks ahead. He doesn't get distracted by the here and now, but he looks ahead. And Jesus tells a parable in Matthew chapter 25 about 10 virgins, 5 of them who were prepared, and 5 of them who were not prepared. And he says in verse 1, "The kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps." The wise women were prudent. They were wise in the fact that they recognized that their oil might run out one day. And so they took extra with them. They thought of the future. And in order for us to build our life on the rock, we're going to have to think about the future.
It's going to require an attitude of not just thinking about the here and now, but thinking about what is good long term. What is going to build a life that's going to last? That is what a wise person does. And so as we close this morning, Psalm 127, verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." And that's true of a physical house, but it's also true of a life. Unless we build our lives upon the Lord, our lives are empty. And whenever we reach that day of judgment, we will realize that. So will your work survive? The things that you're doing now, are you building a life that is going to last? As Jesus closes his sermon in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, just one very quick passage. It says, "When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one having authority and not as one of the scribes." Jesus closes his sermon and people walk away thinking, wow, he's a great speaker. And he's a one of authority. He's just a country boy, but somehow he has knowledge. Somehow he has authority. He doesn't teach like one of the common teachers today. And the reality is they should have been amazed at his teaching. They should have been amazed that because he was the Son of God. But it's not enough just to be amazed at Jesus' teaching. Scripture tells us that those crowds who are often amazed at his teaching oftentimes didn't make a commitment to following Jesus. And the lesson for us is that it's not enough for us just to walk away from a lesson from God's Word and say, well, that was interesting, or I feel better about myself, or just see what an amazing lesson, what an amazing parable. It's not enough to do that. What Jesus' words call us to do is obey right away. Commit ourselves. Repent as soon as we hear Jesus' words. That's what his words call us to do. So, the lesson for us, if you know what you need to do to become a Christian, why are you waiting? You need to build your life on the rock now, because one day the storm will come. And it will test us. If you are a Christian and you know that you need to change something about your life, if you're in sin, you've made choices that you know are wrong, and you have not repented of those things, make those things right. How well will your house last in the day of judgment when the storm comes? That day is guaranteed. Just as the storm came to both the wise man and the foolish man, in the same way, the storm will come to all of us. Both those who are his children and those who are not his children. So if you'd like to become a Christian or make your life right with God in any way, please come while together we stand and sing the invitation song.